The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is May 12th, 2013, for those listening live, and it's whatever your time is if you're listening to the recording. And welcome to each and every one of you, regardless of when you're listening to it. And let me begin by wishing you all a happy Mother's Day. And I say that to all the listeners, male or female, as we all have that divine feminine, that feminine energy within us that is celebrated on this day. But I'd like to start here just briefly by having you take a moment, regardless, as I said, male or female, and just allowing yourself to touch in and connect with that divine feminine within you, that nurturing energy. If you're listening to this program, I really have to believe that you are connected to that nurturing energy. You're seeking to nurture yourself, and as you expand that, then it moves out and you're able to better nurture others. So just thank your own divine mother, your own divine feminine within you for that energy supporting you in this process of waking up. All right. And so let's jump in here right away and move into the connections that allow us to make the most of our time together. And to start with, we always turn within. So broaden that connection, not just to the divine feminine within you, but to all of the divine energy that you are, opening that up, allowing that to expand as much as you're able in this moment. Let your breathing be easy and deep, but the intention is to open that door, to allow yourself into an expanded experience of your own divinity, your own mastery, your own power, your own soul, your own oversoul, your own higher self, whatever term resonates for you. And as you breathe that energy, set the intention that you're allowing that into all levels of your being. You're allowing that to be part of your physical experience, to be part of your emotional experience, to be part of your mental experience, to flow out and fill your entire aura, your entire energy field. And then to flow specifically into all of the relationships that you have, all of the connections that you have, all of the places that energy flows from you to another, and that energy flows from another to you. Because as we allow our power to flow into all of those connections, it helps us to clear out, to erase the old patterns, the old programs of disempowerment. And that, after all, is what we're all about as we join together to create these programs together. Stepping into that mastery, stepping into that power. And so why not go directly to allowing our power to flow into our relationships? And just breathe with that for a moment. Let yourself have whatever experience of a shift within you that brings. And knowing that this connection, this level of openness, is going to remain throughout the time that we spend here together, allow yourself to shift your focus. And now we're going to focus on a specific connection, and this connection, as usual, is the connection down into our Mother Earth, into connection with our Mother Earth, and allowing that to open so that we can experience more of that energy that she is sharing with us all the time. Call it love, call it support, call it divine essence, call it whatever you like, but open yourself to it, to whatever degree you're comfortable and to whatever degree you're ready. And you can do that by imagining the chakras and the feet opening. You can do that by imagining the root chakra opening. You can do that by intending for all the cells of the body to act as radio receivers, in a way, to receive that energy flowing to you, available to you, wrapping all around you. For the earth doesn't end where the soil ends. The earth is the entirety of the atmosphere as well. So we are literally surrounded by the earth at all times. But let yourself receive that. Again, let it come in. Choose for it to expand in physical consciousness and emotional consciousness and your mental consciousness. Allow it to expand throughout your energy field, throughout your aura. And again, allow it to flow, intend it to flow into all of your relationships. The more you are feeling safe and secure and grounded and connected and supported and loved, the more you are going to be able to be in your power within your relationships. So again, this is supporting, stepping into that empowered relationship with every other person you are in relationship in. And once more, just allow your experience of that to expand as much as you're able to allow it, as much as you're ready to allow it at this time. And once more, knowing, trusting, intending that these connections, this energy flow is going to remain open at least this level throughout the time we spend here today. Let's change the focus. And this time we're focusing, we might think of it in a different direction, focusing upward as opposed to downward, focusing into the connections that we have with our divine support team, all of the guides and angels, spiritual masters and teachers, mentors at that spiritual level, guides that we might have. And once more, we are opening up to that connection more fully and more consciously. Different individuals do that in different ways. You might choose to open your heart chakra. You might choose to open the third eye or the crown. You might, again, choose to open up the cells of the body or even the solar plexus. But in whatever way you choose to open, or some other way, just allow yourself to receive that energy of their love and support. And once more, open and intend to expand your consciousness of this connection at the physical level, at the emotional level, at the mental level, and on out throughout your energy field, throughout the aura, and once more, flowing into all of those relationships that we have with others. For as we feel loved and supported in this way, able to connect with and receive guidance, able to connect with and receive intuitive knowledge, able to connect with and receive inspiration, so we can feel more supported in each of our relationships. So allow it to flow into each one of your relationships. Intend it to flow there to support you as you step into your power in each relationship more fully, as you step into your mastery in each relationship more fully. And once more, trusting that this is going to be open at this level, at least throughout the time that we share together here today. Let's move our focus once more, and this time we're focusing directly into the community that we are sharing here. All of those who are joining in this Exposing the Masters Within community, who are connected within this community, allow yourself to open to that mass consciousness energy. Within that energy, the primary focus is this intention of exposing, expanding, expressing our own mastery. Each of us is here with that intention to some degree or another, and that intention is the primary one that we are tapping into as we connect with this mass consciousness. And so allow yourself to open in whatever way works for you, to whatever degree feels safe for you, to receive the support of that shared intention. I like to think of it like this. It's kind of like the current in a river if we're in a canoe, kind of like the wave if we're on the surfboard. Yes, we're in the boat, but we don't have to do all the work if we allow this other energy to flow around us and to ride it, to feel it supporting us, buoying us up. And so again, allow yourself to receive that, to take it in to whatever degree works for you in the physical, in the emotional, in the mental. Allow it to flow throughout your energy field, throughout your aura, and indeed into all of your relationships. For as you're feeling supported by this community energy, by this community intention, so you will feel better able to expose your true essence, to expose your mastery, to expose your truth in the perfect doses in all of your relationships. And so we step out once more, knowing that this will remain open while we remain connected here today. And we step out and expand our focus. And this time we shift our focus to a larger subset of humanity as a whole. And that larger subset is all of the conscious light workers, all of the beings who have this shared intention to some degree or another to step into their power. And in so doing, as the Buddhists say, for all sentient beings to support others in their path as well, in that path of awakening into empowerment. And so it's a much larger pool to draw from. It's a bigger wave. It's a stronger current. And so allow yourself once more to open in whatever way works best for you to receive that energy of support in this pathway of empowerment, this pathway of awakening. And allow that energy to connect with you through the physical, through the emotional, through the mental, filling the entire aura, the entire energy field, and flowing through you, through the energy field, to all of your relationships, supporting them as well, in the same way with larger energy, for you to be more empowered in each of those connections. And now we expand once more, shift the focus again, knowing that this last energetic opening is going to remain open with us throughout the time we share together. We open now to connect with all of humanity. For all of humanity has at a deep core level, maybe mostly unconsciously for most people, but at a deep core level, we all have the desire for things to be better, the desire to move toward the light, the desire to move toward divinity, whatever you want to call it, it's there in each of us. And that is another mass consciousness. And that's a mass consciousness now that's, I believe, over 7 billion strong on the planet. So again, it's a fairly large energy. And we're just going to tap in and ride that particular aspect of mass consciousness, that energy that desires, that intends, that moves toward divinity. And again, allow that to come to you to whatever degree you're ready to open, in whatever way that you feel safe. and allow that to expand within your physical experience, within your emotional experience, within your mental experience, and to fill your entire energy field, your entire aura, and again, to flow out into the energy of all of your relationships. For what is relationship but an exchange of energy at its core? And flowing this energy into all of your relationships, this awareness that everyone has this spark, everyone has this desire, no matter how exalted they may seem, how wise, no matter how pity and downtrodden they may appear, each of us has this. And when we can bring that awareness into our relationships with everyone, that's a way that we support them in awakening it in themselves. It's a way that we can support them, not interfering in their individual path, but holding space so that when they're ready, and in whatever degree, they can step into their own empowerment as well. And so, allow yourself to breathe in all of this, connect with all of it, and then let it go from your conscious awareness to whatever degree you're ready and when, in whatever way you're ready as we step forth here into the discussion today. But knowing that all these energies are open and flowing throughout the time we share, and knowing as well that through these connections, we are co-creating what I say here today. These are not simply my words, they are our words. And I do not intend ever to impose what I believe, what I have experienced on you. So step in at the beginning here today of your empowerment and step into your discernment, that capacity within you to recognize your own truth. And honor yourself for that, because that's another piece of this Divine Mother energy, I would say, is that energy of discernment, because it's how we nurture ourselves. What truth are we going to feed our energy into? What reality are we going to choose to live in? And that brings me right to the topic for today. And for those who listened last week, you know, well, if you were paying attention at the beginning, it was a recording last week. But 2 weeks ago, I did say that I was going to talk about soul contracts, and that's what I'm going to talk about today. So, well, I would say buckle up, but I don't think it's quite that kind of session today. Although for many, these ideas, these concepts that I'll be talking about are quite a significant shift from how they might have perceived soul contracts before. Again, this is my truth, my version of reality as I know it right now. It is subject to change. I am not attaching myself to this as the final truth. As those I channeled in the first quickening back in January said, everything you think you know is wrong because it's incomplete. So I'm kind of taking that as a motto for myself, leading to even greater flexibility, greater openness to shift with higher levels of truth as they come in. So hopefully this one will serve you. Obviously, you're listening now for a reason. And what I'd like to start with is a description of what I think many people believe about soul contracts. And I say this, and I'll describe this based on my experience of these 16 years where the primary work that I've done has been channeling the Ascended Masters and other higher beings to individuals and groups. And through those years, I've gotten a lot of similarity in the questions that come. Now, it gets put in the particular focus of the individual that's coming to me, but there are many, many questions that are almost verbatim. And some of the predominant ones I've mentioned this before in previous programs. Some of the predominant ones, in fact, the three predominant ones. One is finance. Where's the money? One is love. Where's my partner? And the third is purpose. What am I here to do? And many of these, as people are asking them, they're coming from a place that I believe has, in many cases, an unconscious, but in others a conscious program about soul contracts built into how the question is being asked. Because in many cases, the way it's being asked almost from a perspective of fate or determinism or destiny. In other words, these questions are being asked from, when is this going to happen? In other words, in the script of my life, in the contract of my life, you know, what chapter am I in? And what chapter does abundance show up? And what chapter does finances come into the way I'd like them to be? And in what chapter does love show up? In other words, in what chapter does my perfect partner, my soulmate, my twin flame, the one that's going to spark me from here on and the rest of my life, when does that person show up? And what's the purpose? What am I here to do? What am I here to accomplish? What was my overriding theme or my mission statement before I came into body? And I have to say that for me, that's kind of a disturbing way to focus on things. And yet, it is this underlying assumption of so many people walking this path related to all three of those. And I'm going to explore that further in a moment. But I want to jump in here to kind of the opposite polarity in some ways, idea to determinism or destiny or fate, which is that idea of free will, which is embedded at another level, seemingly, for many people. Because many people who are asking those questions from a very deterministic standpoint, it seems, also believe in free will, that I can shape what I am experiencing in my life. And that's embedded at the core of many religious traditions or spiritual traditions. It certainly is embedded at the core of Christianity, the idea of free will. And yet, over and over and over and over and over again in the channelings I've offered, and as I look at my own life and as I look at what I'm desiring to change in my life and in many cases how difficult it is to initiate those changes, it makes me wonder about these two seemingly contradictory beliefs about life. One, that it is determined for us in advance, either completely or to some degree. And the other, that we have free will. We can choose to change what we're experiencing. And this question, this contrast, this conflict between these two seeming opposites, for me, is at the core of what we're going to talk about today, which is soul contracts. And what I'd like to say first is that I also believe that we are in a process, seemingly self-evident process, of tremendous change on the planet. And I left a thought hanging a moment ago that I want to come back to before I go further there, which is when I said that thing about change and free will and how difficult it can be. What they've said in the channeling is that the majority of people spend better than 95% of the time not operating in free will. In other words, operating out of our conditioned programs, our expectations built upon past experiences. And again, that's kind of disheartening, although I don't believe you would be listening right now, that you would be joining me in co-creating this if you were one who spent that much time in your patterns. And so we come to what I was talking about a moment ago, which is the great change that's taking place right now. If you go back, oh, even 100 years, but especially 300 years, say, before the Industrial Revolution, when the path of technological advance accelerated, seemingly exponentially, and is still accelerating. If you go back, and that's not that far, even in recorded history, 300 years is a blip. But definitely in the history of humanity, that's not necessarily written down in a book somewhere. That is very much a blip. And if you look at what lives were like, compared to what's going on right now, where there's a new technology showing up or a new social revolution showing up, seemingly regularly, lives were fairly static. What do I mean by that? Now, obviously, there was birth and growth and aging and death and all of those kinds of things. And depending on where you were, what country and what particular time period, there might have been great upheavals. But the overall structure of civilization within a given country, a given culture at any one time, has not been one of great upheaval. It's been one that has fairly lengthy time spans between great changes. And so for a given lifetime, the majority of people were not even going to travel very far. They might not really leave the village they grew up in or the general area they grew up in. And so one way to think about this that I find beneficial is that at that time, in some ways, there wasn't necessarily, again, for the masses of humanity, there wasn't necessarily a tremendous surge or change in consciousness in any given individual during the course of a single lifetime. Well, what does that suggest? Well, what it suggests is that from the moment of birth to the moment of death, they were going to be working within a fairly limited range of possibilities in the types of relationships they were going to have. For the most part, they were within the particular vision of that culture for what it meant to be a parent, or what it meant to be a child, or how you were related to the rest of the community. And I'm sure that there were people who rebelled against that to whatever degree, but if you look at, let's take an instance, and if you look at, say, the medieval culture with the serfs and the landholders and the clergy and the monarchy in European countries, those things stayed basically steady for centuries over the course of many generations. And that cultural paradigm, that societal paradigm, that set of beliefs and patterns and practices and behaviors that was acceptable within those cultures was going to be fairly static while that predominant culture was in force. And so an individual wasn't going to vary much outside of that. Now, back to soul contracts in general. And let me here, perhaps, describe how that fits within what I think about soul contracts. But to do that, I think I first have to define a little bit about soul contracts in general. In that, I don't think soul contracts are nearly as hard to figure out as we think they are. You don't necessarily have to go to a psychic or a channel or a medium to ask these kinds of questions about your soul contract. Because for me, the soul contract is pretty obvious. Now, it may not be for you right now, but when I explain what I mean, I think it will make more sense. If a soul contract describes the basic parameters of what we are going to experience in our life, in a given lifetime, if that's kind of what the definition is, and that's why people will come and ask those questions of where's my money, where's my partner, what's my purpose, that should be written down somewhere. That's in the Akashic Records. The soul contract gets stored there, and we can pull up the file and read off of it and decide or describe or define or discover when those things are going to happen or how they're going to happen or what they're supposed to be. Then that's a pretty good definition, I think, of what a soul contract is it describes what's to take place. But that's extremely deterministic. I mean, that throws out the idea of free will. If everything is in the book already, then free will is an illusion. And I don't buy that. Some people might, I don't. I don't buy that free will is an illusion. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't feel true. And, of course, I could be in my self-determined previous pattern of not believing in self-determination. It doesn't mean it's not true. It just means I'm in my self-determined pattern of not believing it's not true. And we can go round and round with the logic of that and the distortions that come out of that. But let's just say, for argument's sake, that walking this path towards self-empowerment, towards self-discovery, is a process that is guided, at least in part, by free will, at part by choice. And what does that mean about the soul contracts? Well, what it means is they are the basic parameters that we are starting with. That's at least a big portion of the soul contract. It's where we're starting. So let's look at that. We can discover a lot just looking at some of those basic parameters. Are you in a male or female body in this lifetime? Well, there are many men who would say that women really don't know what we go through. And there are probably more women who would say that men don't have any clue what they go through. Because whatever gender you're in, whatever physical body you're in, does shape things that you're going to experience in that lifetime, that if you're in the other gender, you're not going to experience. There is no man alive today, no man alive in history, no man alive in the future, unless they change the technologies and add some things, that has ever been pregnant or given birth or will be pregnant or give birth to a physical human being. It's an experience that I cannot have. And even if a woman never does that, the very fact that her body is built for that and has that possibility. And there's dealing with menstruation. There's dealing with the other things that go along with that, that a lot of times get lumped into women's stuff, as if men can't have any clue about it. But certainly direct experience of it, we don't. And so that definitely is a coloring. That definitely is going to shape our experiences in a given lifetime. So for me, that's the first parameter in the soul contract. We choose which body, which type of body we're going to come into, and that is going to shape our experiences. Well, then we go to a next level. Maybe it's not the next level, but it's another level of looking at this. And we look at our parents. Well, they're going to provide the genetic material, the sperm and the egg, they're going to provide, and they're going to shape the physical structure of that body. At the very first level, they're going to shape that. Now, one or both of the parents may not be around to directly influence through parenting the raising of the child, but they're providing the basic building blocks of what that male or female body is going to look like. If it's going to have genetic issues, if there are going to be built-in tendencies toward some diseases or others, or toward height, how tall someone has the potential to be, if they have good nourishment, good physical nurturing during that lifetime. It's going to denote hair color, eye color. It's going to denote whatever variation of skin color the person has, etc. All of those things come with that level of the soul contract as we choose who are going to be the genetic donors to this lifetime for me. All right, then let's talk about what happens after birth. Now, some of this programming is going on as well during birth that I'm going to talk about next, but definitely, once we step out into the world, we start having direct experiences. We start learning what is acceptable and what is unacceptable within the culture that we have chosen. Now, as soon as we choose our parents, we are also choosing what country, what culture, what socioeconomic status we're going to be born into. All of these things are going to lead even further along to other things that are in the soul contract about education, about religion, about spirituality, about, well, not just the kind of education we get, but how much education is celebrated and supported and how much it is mocked and not desired. And what kinds of education are most desired? Is it more the esoteric, the abstract, the theoretical, or is it the practical? Is it going to a tech school to learn a trade? Or in older times, is it going to become an apprentice to learn a trade, etc.? Is it going to be a craft, or is it going to be a profession, is another way to talk about that dichotomy, that polarity, that division of possible pathways. And all of these things are there at the beginning, within that program, as we choose male or female, as we choose our parents and place ourselves within the initial paradigm we're going to live out. Now, anyone who has traveled to other countries and has paid attention at all will recognize that the American paradigm is not the same as the Chinese paradigm or the Japanese paradigm. It's not the same even as the European paradigm. And now even those can be broken down still further. The Southern American paradigm, the general belief and outlook toward life, is very different than that in the North. The paradigm on the West Coast is very different from the paradigm on the East Coast. And it gets more and more and more specific as we go down to that level of exactly where we're born, into exactly what family, into exactly what religious tradition, including no religious tradition, into the division between believers and non-believers or atheists and agnostics, who are like, yeah, you can't prove either one of those definitively. And all of these things that are that basic energy ball around us are going to be imprinting into us at the energetic level before we ever say our first word. And they are going to comprise the basic programs that we set up within our lives. And so for me, these are all things that we can look at as our soul contract. For instance, I chose to be born into a male body, into an upper-lower class or lower-upper class family, socioeconomically, in the Midwest, a Catholic family, in St. Louis specifically. These are all things that I can then look at and say, all right, what are the limitations? What are the paradigms, in other words, that I have taken on by choosing that set of parameters as my first definition of myself? Before I ever started to express myself, I stepped into that as the pot that was going to cook the stew of my life. The basic ingredients were already in there. Male, Catholic, this level of economics, definitely a support of education, etc. Those kinds of things were already in that stew that was being cooked that was going to be my life. And so if I look at and question each one of those in turn and ask the question, what are the viewpoints here? And what are other possible viewpoints? Now, somewhere along the way, I decided to start adding my own ingredients, which is part of, for me, the thing about free will. You know, I was raised to a very strongly practicing Catholic family. Church was an every Sunday occurrence, etc. And I can remember very, very clearly walking out of church that particular Sunday. I don't remember why this was in my consciousness, but what was in my consciousness is they don't know what the hell they're talking about. And from that point on, I started making choices that were not acceptable within that paradigm, within that family paradigm. Why? So what happened? Well, I stopped going to Mass. But I pretended to go to Mass so that I could stay safely or comfortably within the family paradigm. I would leave the house every Sunday, go to the bookstore that opened, that was across the street from the church, and spend an hour browsing. Too bad it wasn't a Barnes & Noble. A Barnes & Noble in those days wasn't like this, and you didn't have the coffee shop in the bookstore. So I had to look around and walk around the whole time. Couldn't sit down and be comfortable at my getting out of my comfort zone and yet pretending to still be in the comfort zone by giving everyone else the impression I was still buying into their paradigm. And that, to me, is what we are seeking to do as we're walking this path. Now, again, the soul contract, the core of what we're talking about here today, the framework. For me, well, I'd like to give you another piece of this right now, and that has to do with astrology. Now, for those of you, some are firm believers in astrology, some look at astrology as going to give them all the answers, and they go to the astrologist to decide when to go to the dentist. That's a perfectly fine paradigm. If that works for someone, that's great. For me personally, that astrology chart is also another expression or another way to look at your soul contract. Not in a predetermined way, that it says exactly what detail is going to happen at this point in your life. I don't believe it's predetermined like going through puberty is predetermined for the great majority of people, unless there is some sort of a genetic or chemical imbalance that prohibits it. But what astrology, as I understand it, does is it offers some pieces of the picture of what we chose to step into, to play with in a given lifetime, to have as the basic building blocks, the basic perspective on life, and therefore the tools that we as individuals get to use to play with, to explore life in that given lifetime. So for instance, and for the life of me, doesn't matter how many times I'm told something or I read it about astrology, very little detail sticks for me, which is why I'm not an astrologist. But for instance, let's go to some of the stereotypes of astrology. And the sun sign is the one that people are most likely to know. If they don't know anything about astrology, they probably still can tell you what their sun sign is. And I can't go into all the details about even my sun sign, which is Pisces. But I do know that one of the stereotypes of the Pisces is they tend to be the mystics. They tend to be the ones off, woo, exploring all the weird stuff in the world. They tend to not necessarily be very grounded or practical. And not that that fits every Pisces, but it's something to look at, to explore, to question. Well, how does this affect me that I was born not only in a male body in St. Louis to a Catholic family of this socioeconomic status, but that I was born at this time of year, and therefore I'm a Pisces, and I have these certain influences. And they may or may not be exactly what is described as the Pisces, but there are certain pieces here that are eerily familiar to me. And I've known a lot of Pisces, and that not necessarily the exact same parameters that are described in Pisces, but it's true for a lot of them. Well, let's take another example of one of the sun signs that some of the stereotype is stuck for me, the Leo. Now, I don't know how many Leos I've known in my life. I don't go around asking everyone what their sun sign is. It's not part of my work, so I don't ask it of my clients. But the Leos I've known have tended to live up to that stereotype that I have anyway, which may not be true. If there are any astrologers living out there, you can certainly correct me on this. But the stereotype I have of the Leos is they are, and I don't mean this in judgmental terms, but they're the showboats. They're the center of attention. They want everyone else's eyes on them. They want to have everyone paying attention to them, if not worshiping them. And again, I may be exaggerating, and I don't mean to put it out in the judgmental terminology, but stereotypes are that. They're judgmental. They have value judgments in them. And so let's go to another one. And I know this from a few people. And there are positive and negative attributes in everything. You can look at something in one way and it becomes a very negative thing. You can look at it in another way and it becomes a very positive thing. And so the stereotype of Virgo, again, a soul contract kind of thing, for me is very associated with, and again, the stereotypes have judgment in them. I'm aware of that. It's organization, it's control, it's system, it's a lot of other things. Now, just recently I was speaking to someone and they happened to point out, I think, that Virgo is the sign opposite of Pisces on the zodiac. And so in many ways we are opposites. And I can tell you right now, in part of what I'm working on in my life, it's an interesting thing for me that a big aspect of what I'm trying to do right now is to step into some of that Virgo energy, to step out of the Pisces limitations into the Virgo, to get more organized, to get more systematized, to go beyond what the soul contract that part of it described by my astrology says is what I'm going to live my life as. I'm seeking to step outside of it. And again, that for me is another piece of this that is the soul contract. For me is the basic template. It's the starting point. It's not where we're stuck. There are people who will use astrology, or they will use their past history, their religion, or some bad relationship, and hold on to that as their definition rather than as a set of experiences they've had that they have the opportunity to make different choices, to move in different directions. Now, I'm not saying that's necessarily an easy thing to do for any of us, but I think that's what looking at soul contracts can offer us. Examining those underlying assumptions that we have based on, I'm male, I was raised Catholic, I was raised in St. Louis, I was raised by this kind of family, I went through 12 years of Catholic school, I have a degree in education, I have a degree in theater, blah, 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 blah. Each one of these primary roles that I have lived, I believe, is part of my soul contract. But I also believe that we are stepping forward out of a world that is largely determined in advance, where the soul contract, because there's not much change going on, as I talked about that life 300 years ago, there wasn't much change going on. So the basic soul contract, the basic parameters that I set up for that life, were going to also be true when I died. Same is not the true right now on the planet. Change is happening. One way it's been described is that we are stepping out of more and more and more of what was self-determined. In other words, the opportunity is to move into a life that is more and more shaped by free will and less shaped by those paradigms that we originally bought into, stepped into, that were embedded in the soul contract of gender, of socioeconomic status, of education, of religion. And that's part of what's happening right now, is the acceleration of that opportunity to move into free will. And so certainly that is not all of what there is to talk about soul contracts. And in fact, as this came up as a topic to talk about in the program, what also came up was to offer a class in this to work with it more consciously and more directly. So I'm just going to put it out there to you guys as a question. Would you be interested in that? Would you be interested in a specific framework, not a rigid framework, but a specific framework in using tools to work through transcending these initial programs in the soul contract to step more into free will? So drop me a line. Send me an email. Let me know. Two other things. One, I will be offering, I believe it's on the 25th of May, I will be offering a WESOC festival celebration. For those of you who don't know what that is, I will be putting out information shortly. It is a celebration of the festival of the Buddha. It is of his birth, death, and enlightenment, which theoretically took place on the same date, obviously not the same year. And it's a time when the spiritual hierarchy brings in energies that are then going to be used throughout the coming year for spiritual growth and enlightenment practices. So I will be putting that out. If you're interested in that, let me know as well. Both of these things, if I offer the class, and definitely the WESOC, will be available as teleconference, and most likely as well through the recording if you can't do it live. So that's the commercial announcement. I am now going to go quickly into the channeling. We do have a show following us now. Congratulations, BBS. So this will be a short channeling relatively, but we will go in and bring that energy in. So to facilitate that, allow your breathing to deepen while I do the toning and bring in our guest.
Mm-hmm. manana yo
Oh, dear ones, we are the lords of Sirius, and we are here today to give you a brief initiation, a brief activation, if you are so willing, that will aid the acceleration of your awakening. And so we will jump right into that. Allow yourself to give the permission to have your energetic system upgraded at this time. Now, we cannot do everything, but we will be working specifically at this time within the glands, within the endocrine glands, specifically and especially the ones in the head, the pineal, the pituitary, and the hypothalamus. We will also do it through the others that are in the rest of the body. And so this is an awakening, and it is about shifting consciousness to allow you to perceive multidimensionally more easily. So just allow yourself to open into that. It will be a relatively short burst of energy brought in through sound. And then we will let you go. The integration will be over the next 3 weeks. So allow yourself, when you think of it, to focus on these areas or to just open yourself consciously, because it will be a gentle expansion. So here we go. So, thank you for your courage and your willingness to open, to ascend, to empower. Much love, dear ones. Namaste. Okay, so we are, of course, very close to the end of time. You can start those chimes up, Doug. And I want to thank each and every one of you for being here with me to help co-create this here today. And I will be back same time, same place next week. May you have a marvelous time in between. And much love to each and every one of you. Let me know what you think, what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like more of or less of. And I'll be back with you again. Namaste, my friends. Namaste.